Hello, friends. Welcome to Islington Listens, wisdom from a community of faith that doesn't think the same, vote the same, or love the same, but we are trying our best to follow in the way of Jesus with compassion and hope.
I can hardly believe that we've made it to the sixth Sunday of Easter. On that Easter morning, we were sharing with each other the story of Jesus appearing to Mary in the garden. And on the second Sunday of Easter, we were remembering that Thomas said, "Only when he touches when I touch the nail prints and reach out, will I believe." And so Jesus met the doubter and reminded us that we are invited to believe even if we haven't seen. On the third Sunday, the window that stands behind me, that story of the Emmaus Road, of those two weary travelers walking away from Jerusalem and a stranger meeting them along the road and interpreting scripture for them, opening up for them the stories of how God was with them in the desert. God was with them in exile, and God is with us in knowing Jesus in a new way. In the breaking of the bread, we know him. And then they headed to Galilee, those disciples, and they went back to what they knew when they're most familiar, as we do when we're grieving. They went fishing. And it was out of that boat that a stranger said to them, "Have you caught anything? Why don't you throw your nets on the other side?" And when they did, they could feel the fish filling up the boat. So much that they couldn't bring the fish into the boat, but they had to drag it along behind them. And when John and Peter recognized Jesus, they jumped out of the boat to go and see him. He was known to them in the morning. And last week, on the fifth Sunday of Easter, we were reminded of Jesus spending time with them and challenging the disciples to go and tell this story, that others would want to hear it. Go and tell them everything that they had experienced, everything. And he reminded them that he would be with them always. Thank you. But on this sixth Sunday of Easter, we find that the disciples have returned to Jerusalem. They have gone back to their upper room, and this time Jesus is there. But he leads them out of the room and through the streets of Jerusalem. He takes them out through the wall, perhaps near Bethany. And after they had gone away, he stopped and they gathered around. And he lifted up his arms and he looked at each of them and he blessed them. And then he withdrew. And it was like a cloud lifted him up out of their sight. And they were standing there looking up into the sky. And someone said, "Why are you standing there looking up into the sky?" Two men were with them dressed in white. And the disciples felt kind of silly, for they were standing there looking up for something that was no longer there. The strangers answered their own question. They said, "This was Jesus. He is gone now in the way that you have known him." And it felt for the disciples like a weight was lifted off of their shoulders. And they turned and walked back to Jerusalem. Now was their time for waiting. They wondered who this Holy Spirit was that Jesus had promised would come to them. They wondered how they would know it when it arrived. And all they could do was wait. They waited and they waited. So I wonder, my friends, what part of that story you like the best. Whether you've heard it before or for the first time. I wonder what part of that story feels important for you or our community today. I wonder which part of this story is about you. I wonder if the disciples were good at waiting. I wonder if it was hard for them. I wonder if they'd gotten used to living with Jesus' surprises. And I wonder what waiting is like for you. For those of you who know me, I find waiting very hard. One of my go-to prayer books is called The Power of Pause, Becoming More by Doing Less. And I'm grateful for retreat leaders and meditators who invite us into pausing and praying and waiting. Specifically today, Terry Hershey. He writes, "Waiting is a hitting of the pause button, but it is usually not of our own choice. Time slows. Plans change, and we aren't in control like we think we are." The disciples had no choice. Things were different than before. Jesus told them to wait. He made them wait. They had to wait. Like when we get this message that pops up on your computer, you are now running on reserved power and your screen has dimmed. You will be able to continue working for a short time. Please plug in your power adapter to begin recharging your battery. The disciples were running on reserved power. Things had dimmed. They couldn't continue working until the power of the Holy Spirit arrived, and they had to wait for it, not knowing what it would look like or how to recognize it when it arrived. This not knowing was probably hard for them. And it doesn't sit well in our own lives, does it? Because we're kind of wired for closure. If our brains see a circle that's half empty, our brains and our neurons actually close that circle. We like a plan that has a beginning and an end. Like children or teens or impatient adults on a family trip, the questions of, are we there yet? Where are we going? Are we done now? Stay with us. In fact, we create apps so we know the best route to get there. We share information so we don't get stopped along the ways. We want to get somewhere, or at least add fuel to our guilt about not getting somewhere, not being where we should. The truth is, if we were in control, there might not be any waiting allowed. Because waiting doesn't do anything, does it? It wastes valuable time, doesn't it? And quite frankly, it can often be bad for our blood pressure. Isn't the goodness of life about activity and excitement and achieving things, about meeting our goals, about goings on and urgencies and getting things done? We act like waiting is a tribulation that must be avoided at all costs. You may not have gone on a road trip with my dad, but as soon as the traffic slows to a stop, we find any alternative way that might take us three times as long if we'd only waited a little bit. But we like the feeling of moving, don't we? Waiting can be confused with being stuck, doesn't it? But it can't be avoided. Moments, seasons, years of waiting will find us. And where will we be looking? What will we be listening to? Which reminds me of a story I heard about a little girl named Katie who was making cookies with her dad around Easter. Their kitchen window was open and birds were singing in the distance. She stopped what she was doing and said, "Dad, wait." And he said, "What, Katie?" "Wait," the child insisted. "What am I waiting for?" asked her dad. "Shh, listen," she said. "If you are quiet and listen, you can hear God calling to us. Wait. Shh, listen." The disciples had to wait and to listen, to pause and slow down. They had to sit with their own ideas, their own thoughts, their questions, their memories, their rememberings, their grief, their endings, their beginnings, their deep love of God and their trust in a Jesus who they knew or hoped would deliver on his promises. Waiting for them involved sitting in the to wait, to listen, to discern. That pause allows each of us to separate, to distinguish, to sift through, to almost let the experience of our lives be processed, to kind of deepen into ourselves. Throughout the centuries, teachers have reminded us of this in different ways. The psalmist was brief, "Be still and know." Meister Eckhart wrote that we must go into our own ground of silence and learn to know ourselves there. And St. John of the Cross called it hearing silent music. In the silence, can we hear God speaking to our soul? Requires stopping, sitting still, finding an upper room, and something even more inconvenient, waiting. There's no getting around the truth. From all of the cloud of witnesses who've gone before, we know that God's wisdom, God's insight and understanding and acceptance finds us when we push the pause button, when we recharge our batteries. It finds us in the waiting. Because in waiting and listening, you can't be anywhere else, particularly if your phone battery has run out of charge and you're standing in line. You may look up at the subway and notice those around you differently. In waiting and in listening, we're present to what is unresolved, what we're running away from or avoiding. And we may just hear an invitation to the next right step. And what if the waiting isn't about achieving anything, but is about receiving? What if it's about embracing this day, this moment, whatever has happened or led us to this? What if the waiting invites us to the gift of being alive? What if it's allowing love to break through to that place in our soul that can be blocked by busyness, by self-importance, by what we think we need to do, by self-indulgence or self-pity? What if allowing love to break through to that place in our soul that is yearning for God? May we trust that waiting is about receiving. However and wherever you wait, listen. You might just hear God talking. And may the message of love be received as a gift that we will always know in the waiting. Thanks be to God.
Thanks for listening, friends. For other ways to connect, go to islingtonunited.org. May God's wisdom and love keep finding you.